Hello, and welcome to the Every Child, Every Day podcast. I'm your host, Rob Arnold, superintendent of Amherst County Public Schools. You may have seen in the news recently that the school system's budget was approved, so we thought this would be a great opportunity to start a conversation around the budget. We believe that the more our community understands about the functioning of our schools, the stronger we will become. We also realize that the budget process is very complex and difficult to understand, so today we will start with the basics. Today's podcast will be called Budget 101, and I will be joined by Chief Financial Officer Teresa Crouch. So please join us for this very informative show.
Thank you, Dr. Arnold, for allowing me to participate in this podcast.
So, well, thank you, and welcome to the show. And what we will do is, here's how we're going to handle this. We've kind of divided the budget up into five parts: the what, the who, the when, the where, and the how. And we'll kind of lead you through some of this information. And so I'll get started with just the most basic question is, what is a budget, and what is a school operational budget? And so our operational budget is, at its base level, a district financial plan for the upcoming year that relates to anticipated expenditures and revenues. So the money that we bring in and how the money will go out in terms of expenses. And so what a budget needs to be able to do for a school system is to reflect our priorities as a school system and to help us meet our system goals. So if you remember, over the last couple of years, we've spent considerable amount of time with our community talking about what we want our school system to look like, and we came up with a comprehensive plan, and our budget should work towards completing the goals in that comprehensive plan. So that's really what a budget is. But I'm going to get started with Ms. Crouch on really who are the decision makers, who is involved in the budget process for schools.
Well, Dr. Arnold, we like to take and make sure that we have all the stakeholders involved in the development of the school operational budget. And the stakeholders not only include the senior staff at our office, they include the community, the department heads, the principals, all of our supervisors, maintenance, transportation, our school board members, and the board of supervisors.
Okay. What role, because we'll get there shortly, is what role does government have, like state government, federal government? Are they involved in this process as well?
Well, the General Assembly provides us information on what type of funds we're going to be receiving. We work closely with the local government in determining how much our local appropriation will be.
Okay.
And then the federal is built on our Title I and student services.
So what we can do is maybe we can use the timeline of how our budget works. So maybe you can give a sense of when these folks get engaged in the process. So, you know, when do we include the schools? When do we include the Board of Supervisors? So if you want to kind of take, you know, we've just finished our budget, but it's a long process. And so do you mind going through what a budget process looks like? Like what time of the year do we start? What do we do at that point? And then kind of move forward to where we are now.
I'll be happy to share that information with you. A lot of times we're working in three different budgets. We're finishing one budget, working in the current, and getting ready to start our new budget. The new budget begins somewhere at the end of September, the 1st of October, where we send surveys out to our principals and our supervisors to get their input.
And what kind of things do we ask for?
We ask them if they need additional staff, what type of supports they may need, technology, what they would like to see, furniture, whether they need replacements of furniture, and then with the maintenance and transportation, to ensure our buses are replaced on a timely fashion, as well as any maintenance needs we may have.
Right. So these needs come in to us, and then they have a justification attached to them why they need these things. And certainly when they ask for staff, the number of students in their school has to correspond with the need for more staff. And we'll talk about kind of the ADM thing here later. So after we get all of that, what happens?
Once we receive it back in their office, we consolidate it, and the senior staff reviews that information. There are times that we bring in the principals and actually sit down for an hour each with them individually to talk about their needs and whether or not to give them an idea of whether we're not going to be able to put their needs in the budget or whether we're going to – how we can best serve their needs with the funds we have available.
And they really should be – the principals should be including their staff in this process in October to kind of get a gauge of what staff sees as needs in their building as well. So that gets us kind of into December. So what happens in December?
In December, the governor presents his budget to us somewhere along the 18th of December. We review that information to know where our expenditures or what, where our revenue are, so that we can start in January developing our budget.
So the governor's proposed budget, so it comes out in the end of December. Do we have a public hearing sometime in December?
We generally have a public hearing, the first board meeting in December. To get community input.
Right. So that's how we engage the community in talking about the things that they see as being priorities for the community. And so also in December, we do send out a survey to our board members so they can put in input on priorities as well. And so all of that happens through December, and then we get into January. What's going on in January?
In January, we're putting all of the needs together, and we are processing all of the revenues. And we put together a budget for the superintendent to present to the school board.
Yeah. And so that's a proposed budget that's based on the governor's proposed budget. It's not a finalized budget because the General Assembly has to weigh in. So the Senate and the House both release their budget versions. Mm-hmm. And so now there's three budgets sitting out there that they have to vote on. And at the same time, we're trying to determine which one of those three budgets is going to be used so we can create ours, correct?
That is correct. As a rule, when we present your budget, we are presenting the governor's proposed revenue. And the end of February is just sometimes when we get the House and Senate versions. Mm-hmm. And then we give our school board a list of the changes that the House, the Senate, and the governor has put in place for them to review.
Okay. So in February, then we're able to, for the most part, give a pretty close budget to our school board to for the first viewing, submitting that budget to our school board sometime in February.
Yes, sir. And we moved it back into the middle of February, end of February, so that we can give them more concise information.
All right. And so what does the board then do with that budget that is submitted by me?
When you submit your budget, and it is called the superintendent's proposed budget, and the night you present it, it becomes the school board's budget. And on the first Thursday in March, generally we have an all-day school board retreat where we review with the board all of the information that we have provided them.
Right.
We try to answer their questions about revenue and different scenarios that could occur based on the House, Senate, and governor's budget.
Okay, and so we also do our own justifications with the board. So if we are looking for more staff, we explain why that is, or if we're looking to provide raises, we can give the justification for that as well. So if the central office is asking the schools to provide justification, central office is providing justification to the school board as well at this retreat.
Yes, sir.
All right. So they get it. They kind of ask their questions. They they get their answers. Hopefully, they are comfortable with the budget as presented there. And then we do what?
At that time, about mid-March, you and normally the board chair, the school board chair, present the proposed budget to the Board of Supervisors for their first review to see how the budget will impact their funding, their local funding to the schools.
So when did the school board, after the retreat, though, they are presented the budget again to approve?
That is correct.
Okay. And so they approve it in March. The school board does. But the Board of Supervisors does not.
The Board of Supervisors, they get their proposed budget. They have to have a public hearing in April. And then normally the end of April, 7 days after their public hearing, they can approve the total county budget, which includes the school's budget.
Gotcha. So in March, and so just based on what we've just gone through, we had a board retreat at the beginning of March. Then the next week we had a school board meeting in which the budget was approved, and then a budget was submitted to the Board of Supervisors. So now that's kind of where we are, waiting for the public hearing and the Board of Supervisors. And so I think it's important for folks to understand that the Board of Supervisors in our county, the way our government is set up, is they are the financial agent, right? They have the money. We have to ask them to appropriate us the money as well, right?
That is true. And we have to present to them a balanced budget or a request for additional local funding in order to balance our budget.
Gotcha. So that'll take us kind of to the where does the money come from? I think that's probably one of those areas where it's kind of not always clear how we get our money. But we receive money from three sources, basically. We receive money from our locality, which is the Board of Supervisors. We receive money from the state of Virginia. And that money is primarily based on the number of students that we have enrolled in our school, and that's called ADM, that's average daily membership, which is determined in March. And so when we create the budget, we have to be really sure about projecting the appropriate number of students so our budget will in fact balance. And then the federal budget, federal monies come in the way of title grants. In most cases, they deal with specific parts of a school budget, and they're primarily built off of the socioeconomic status or our poverty level here in Amherst. And so those are the three big pots of money that we receive revenue from. And so the state budget, and it's important to note that in 2008, 2009, when the recession hit, the state of Virginia had their operating budget was 30 some billion dollars, and today it has gone up to $54 billion. That's about a 57% increase. In 2008, the school portion of that state operational budget was like $3.4 billion. Now it's 3.3, which means that the state portion to schools has gone down a fraction of a percent, right? While their overall operating budget has gone up 57%. So I think it's important for the listener to understand that, you know, when the state gives us less money, that has a huge impact on our budget and how well our locality can meet the needs then. Because it really forces our locality to have to increase their spending in order for the school's budgets to work. And so I think over the last 10 years, that has been some of the things that you guys have dealt with budgets is having to cut budgets because the state has given so much fewer dollars than they were even 10 years ago. But in the last 2 or 3 years, it has gone up significantly. The state has done a much better job of providing more funds to schools, and that's been allowed us to give raises to staff. There have been many, many years over the last 10 years where staff hadn't received any raises, but in the last 3 years, we've been able to give just over 10.5% to our staff, and so we feel really good about that. And actually, in those 3 years, we haven't asked the locality to increase their spending. So I think we've done a pretty good job of being able to meet our needs, but not putting more of a burden on our locality.
Agreed.
So that's kind of where this comes from. And Ms. Crouch, maybe you can answer this one, because I think it's also a good place to talk a little bit about lottery money. So lots of times we hear, well, why aren't you using the lottery money? You see all the commercials, and the lottery is putting in billions of dollars to public education. Could you explain to the listener a little bit about how that works?
I'll be glad to. While it shows that Amherst County receives a little over $2 million in lottery funds, it comes with attachments.
Right.
Such as part of it has to go to at-risk. Part of it has to go to preschool. Part of it has to go to, they have moved categorical items down into the lottery. And what a lot of people don't realize is they also require a match for some of these funds. The regional tuition program is now put in the lottery funds.
So what does a match mean?
A match is based on your composite index, which is your local ability to pay. And so if we receive a certain amount of dollars, they require us to spend a certain amount of dollars in order to get that money.
Okay. Right. And that's also how the raises kind of work as well, right? Mm-hmm. So we often hear the state comes out and the governor says, our budget, in my budget, we're going to give all school staff 5% raise. But it doesn't really mean that, because the state doesn't give us enough money to meet that 5% raise. Why is that?
Well, our SOQ funds, they may fund 150 teachers, and we may have 175 teachers. Well, the raise funds the percentage of the 150 teachers, and then we have to provide the full increase
right
to the other 25.
Right. So the SOQs she was just referring to are called the Standards of Quality, and it's basically a set of criteria that says for every X amount of kids you should have this many teachers. But the problem is that our students are spread out all over the division, and the math doesn't always work, and you have to have more employees than the state is saying you can have through the SOQ. So we're receiving less money than we need to give raises to all of our staff. And so for an example, so how much more do we have to pay for a percent raise?
For a 5% raise, if we were to give a true 5% raise, we would have to put in approximately $600,000.
State, right. Mm-hmm. The state would give enough money, but then we would need to kick in $600,000 more just to get to that raise for all staff.
That's correct.
Yeah, so I think that's really important to know as you watch these processes and you see things in the newspaper, that they're not always exactly how it's reported, especially with raises. So you hear the governor talk about a 5% raise. Yeah, this year we're giving a 4% raise. Well, there's a reason for that, and it's because they're not fully funding that raise.
And what they don't tell you in the 5% is that the 5% is over a 2-year biennium.
Right.
Which means where we gave the 1.5% raise this year, and we get the 4% next year, we're meeting the criteria.
Right.
So we're able to get the funding for the 5% because we're given a 5.5 over 2 year right. period.
Gotcha. Okay. So, and I can, you trust me that it can get a lot deeper than we just did, but remember, this is 101. Maybe when everybody, when we get feedback on this, maybe we'll go to 201. So the next place I want to talk about is actually how we spend the money. You know, so I think that probably when, especially in leaner times, and people are saying, well, just cut X amount of dollars. Well, let me give you a kind of a brief synopsis of how our money is spent so you can see why we have real difficulties and troubles with cutting money. So out of our budget, we spend 85% of our budget on staffing. So salary, benefits, those kinds of things, VRS, all of those kinds of things take up 85% of our budget. So there's only 15% left to go to everything else. So just looking at our list here, we spend 3% of our budget on utilities, 2.5% on regional programs, almost 2% on textbooks. So, you know, you get to that point, now we're at 92.5. And so there's just not a lot of other places that we can find the money to cut back. And so, you know, I think it's just important that staffing is an enormous expense. It's 85% of a budget, and that's the way it is in all the school divisions. This is not different for Amherst County. This is how all school divisions, especially in the state of Virginia, they range between 80% and 85%, somewhere like that. And so, anything to add on to that? How we spend the money?
I think you've done an outstanding job.
I think I appreciate that, Ms. Crouch. So. That kind of gets us through the who, what, when, where, and how of the budget. And we can certainly do more discussion of this at a different time. But I think since we're in this part of the year and you're reading in the paper different things about our budget and you're hearing things from the governor, you're hearing things from the federal level, that we wanted to give you an idea of how it works for us when we're having to deal with those other entities. And so we're pretty pleased with how it went this year. We've really had a good 3 years of budgeting, and so we're very happy, and we really feel like we are making a budget that is trying to get us to our goal. And our goal ultimately is building life-ready students. And so some of the things that you might have noticed in our budget are supporting things like the regional CTE program that will start at CVCC this coming fall, which will give our students different opportunities to take on some CTE coursework. That's a college level coursework. And we're also providing some stipends at the middle schools to run after school programs that are in the STEM area, the science, technology, engineering, and math. And so we're trying to get our students started at an early age to be passionate about some of these types of programs. And so we're gonna pay to have some of these programs started. And of course we want to continue to show our staff how important they are by giving them appropriate raises, because they have, especially this past year, done an amazing job of all of the change that they've had to experience. And so we wanted to make sure that they all understood that they are very much valued, and we believe that the teacher is the most important person in the building to help our students learn, and we want our budget to reflect that. Ms. Crouch, you have anything else to add about the budget process? Which number budget is this for you?
20.
20. All right, so we have an expert on staff with budgeting, and when we get to 201, I will not be participating because I'm not sure I can hang with Ms. Crouch. But Ms. Crouch, I do appreciate you joining me today.
Well, thank you, Dr. Arnold, for allowing me to participate in this.
And certainly to our community, we want to make sure that you know how our school division runs. And so if you have questions and concerns, you can email us, you can call us. We're happy to explain the process. And I think that'll be it for this show. I would like to thank everybody for joining us, and everybody have a great day.